everyone, this is Hacker Public Radio. My name is Claude 2. This is Networking Basics Part 6. In this episode, we're going to set up a DNS server, recursive. So, last episode, if you'll recall, we set up a gateway server to the internet. We made sure that our default IP tables were turned on, at the very least. And we also turned on a DHCP server so that we could distribute IP addresses to our local network. If you'll recall, it was actually a lot easier than you might have imagined it would be, I hope. Today we're going to be doing DNS, and there's not just one DNS server out there, like so many other types of servers out there. You know, like you have Apache web server, you have Nginx web server, you've got LightPD or whatever web server. So lots of different servers that essentially serve the same thing. Well, such is the case with DNS as well. The big famous one is Bind, B-I-N-D, which on the server you'll see running is, at least on Red Hat, called Named. That's the daemon that runs that particular service. Now, myself, I don't want to mess with Bind. I don't know how to do that. So I use Mara DNS, M-A-R-A DNS. And Mara DNS is a lightweight and apparently very secure DNS server that you can run on Red Hat or Debian or anything, really. And it's actually really easy to configure if there is such a thing as a DNS server that is easy to configure. So we're going to go through this. And you're going to keep in mind that I am not Dan Kaminsky. I do not know everything about DNS. And we'll just kind of go through it with that in mind. So I've got a couple of these running, actually. And they are quite... They're fairly simple, honestly. They're pretty neat. But you do have to know a little bit about DNS. You have to know where you want your traffic to go, and all that other interesting kind of information. You also need to be aware that there are currently about two different versions of Mara DNS that seem to be kind of out in the wild, and they're just different enough to confuse you if you blindly do an apt-get install Mara DNS, or a blind yum install Mara DNS, because they might be giving you two different versions, and if you don't look at whether you're running a 1.x series or a 2.x series, there's a certain thing that's completely different. The kind of DNS that we're setting up is called recursive DNS, meaning that you're not going to be a big authoritative, the only DNS server in town kind of server. You are something where you're intercepting DNS traffic on your network, you're passing it through your own zone file, and then if the information isn't in that zone file, then you're sending it back out into the, or over to the internet DNS, and it gets resolved there. That's the only kind of DNS I've set up. So it's a very useful kind of DNS to set up, because you can define, well, you can have your own zone files, right? You can say, well, I want this box over here to intercept all requests, or to receive all requests for slackermedia.local, and I want this box to get all of the requests for straightedgelinux.local. And if it's neither of those two, then go ahead and go out to OpenDNS out there in the World Wide Web and resolve it for me. So that's the power of recursive DNS, and that's the kind that I have set up, so that's the kind we are going to set up together. So Mara DNS comes prepackaged for a couple of different distributions. It did not come prepackaged in the Red Hat, like the Red Hat network, so I had to just build an RPM for that from the spec file that was included with Mara DNS. So it's a really easy compile and build and everything. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, I believe that it is in Fedora repositories, although I could be wrong. I know for sure that it's in Debian, but of course it's a little bit of an older version. I don't know if that has any security implications. I'm going to guess that it's not, that Debian security is probably on top of that, so I'm going to guess that that's not an issue, but like I say, there are two different versions. So if you're running the one that you get straight out of Debian, stable, then be aware that this is that it's going to run one way, and the newer version, the 2.x series, has a completely different daemon that's going to be running for the recursive DNS stuff. That said, we'll do the older one, because that is the one that I've got installed currently on the system that I have closest at hand. I will mention the difference for 2.0, though. So, Mara DNS installs itself in, or installs files in two primary places. There's obviously the daemon itself, which is in user bin or wherever it is. I don't really know. Hold on. User S bin. Sorry, my bad. User S bin slash Mara DNS. But then there's the configuration files, which obviously go into slash etc. And one file is called mara.rc. Sorry, mara.rc. And then there's a folder called Mara DNS. And inside of Mara DNS, there's more stuff, which we'll get to in a minute. So mara.rc is the configuration file that Mara DNS is going to look at when you start that daemon. And it can be ridiculously simple. I think they pitch that it can be all of three lines to actually function. To me, it's not very useful at a three-line configuration, but depending on your needs, I guess that might be useful for someone. But the configuration is pretty simple. So the first line that we need to establish in mara.rc is upstream underscore servers equal curly bracket, curly bracket. So we're establishing that we have upstream servers. Then we establish what those are. So we say upstream underscore servers square bracket double quote dot double quote close square bracket equals quote 208.67.222.222 comma 208.67.220.220 double quote. That's kind of the thing that gives us the recursive power, because or that's the thing that gives us DNS resolution properly when our recursive DNS resolution does not function. So we're telling it just like it sounds, upstream server, meaning if you don't find the information you're looking for in my little DNS server cache, then please go ahead and go out to these bigger servers out there in the world. That's what that does. If you don't have those lines set properly, or if you don't have those lines at all, then your DNS is going to stop in that box. And if you don't have a google.com assigned to some IP address, then people aren't going to be able to get very far. Which, I mean, might be great if all you want is a local network or something, but probably not, that's not what you want. Hide underscore disclaimer, I say yes, because I don't want to be bothered by the Mara DNS disclaimer every time I start the daemon or whatever. No underscore fingerprint I set as 1. So again, that's sort of a positive negation, which I remember talking about recently. But no underscore fingerprint equals 1, meaning don't send out any fingerprint to anyone asking what kind of DNS server I'm running. Verbose underscore level, I have it set to 3 right now. I should probably check on that and make sure that I'm not getting way too much information in my logs. Recursive underscore ACL equals double quote 192.168.8.0/24 comma 127.0.0.1. So what we've said there is that we have a recursive DNS server running. We want everyone on this network, on the 192.168.8.0/24, everyone in that subnet should have permission to use our recursive information, our zone files and everything like that. And so should 127.0.0.1, which you may have seen before on your own computer. That's because 127.0.0.1, of course, is your loopback device. Okay, so the next line is IPv4 underscore bind underscore addresses equals, quote, 192.168.8.8, comma, or actually 8.1. Sorry, I forgot that we're not in the real world. So on your server that we set up last week, it would be last episode would be 192.168.8.1, and then comma space 127.0.0.1 close quote. And that simply is telling this server where to listen for incoming requests. That's all it's saying. So if you set up, if this was a separate box, which in my case it actually is a separate box, then it might have its own IP address, right? So you wouldn't have it on 192.168.8.1. You'd have it on some other IP address. But in this case, it's actually it's the same physical server. So that's where you want any request for 192.168.8.1 should also be listening for DNS requests. And again, so should 127.0.0.1. Okay, so then the Chroot directory, and this is probably where they come up with all that secure stuff. Yes, they Chroot the zone files. So it's Chroot _DIR. Just in case you don't know what I'm saying, it's Chroot _DIR. And then equals quote slash etsy slash mara DNS slash quote. So we're saying, don't let any DNS-related activity get out of my Mara DNS directory in the slash etsy folder. I'm sure that could be modified. You could probably put that anywhere you want, but that's a good place to put it. It's got sane permissions and stuff like that. And then CSV2 equals curly bracket, and then CSV2 square bracket, quote, slackermedia.local, period, close quote, close bracket, equals, quote, db.slackermedia.local, close quote. And that's the configuration file for your DNS server. It's, if you've ever looked into running a larger, more complex DNS server, this is a lot more simple. It's a lot more manageable if you're not a complete and total networking wizard. And yet, it gets your feet wet into DNS, and so you really get to know, you know, all the typical points of failure and stuff like that. So this is kind of nice. The next thing that you need to create then is a zone file, and the zone file is kind of the thing in the DNS that defines your different hosts and what servers they're assigned to and what kind of mail servers you've got running and all these different things. If you have a domain through any web hosting company, then you've probably done this before, even if it's a little bit. I mean, I hadn't really played around with DNS a whole lot, but even I had done a little something with DNS, just with the little sites that I've got going on. So you're probably vaguely familiar with this, and once you start creating your zone file, there'll probably be a lot of trial and error, but more or less I don't want to say it's straightforward because it doesn't feel straightforward, but it is fairly straightforward to some degree. Anyway, slash etsy slash mara DNS slash db.slackermedia.local. That's our zone file, and it's going to be chrooted into this configuration directory, and the first line in it needs to be the start of authority, or the SOA. And you can read all about the SOA and why it exists and what it all means and stuff like that. There's a lot of great information on this stuff online. It's actually an engrossing read. I'm not going to try to get into it right now because I don't even understand it all. So slackermedia.local, and then remember the dot after that. This is DNS. You place dots after the domain names. You can tab over something, SOA, this is the start of authority, tab over again, slackermedia.local dot, and then some kind of contact information, clatu at slackermedia.local dot. And then there's a series of numbers that you're really supposed to have in the start of authority. Mara DNS will actually fill this in for you if you do not have those values included. And they're values like a serial number. That helps sort of, it's almost a version control for DNS, so that when there are zone transfers and things like that, it kind of knows which one is the primary and the secondary zone files and stuff like that. There's a refresh period. There's a retry to refresh this often. An expiration period, a time to, what is it, minimum time to live. So lots of different numbers that you can fill in. I don't know the best settings for you, especially if this was going to be something outside of an intranet, I'm going to assume that you're doing what I'm doing, and it's just serving the your internal network and nothing more. So I have pretty simple values in there that I just ripped off of some website and copied, but you can read all about it and figure that out. And then you should end that entry with a tilde. Next line would be slackermedia.local. A tab over NS. Of course, that stands for, as you can probably guess, name server. So then tab over NS1.slackermedia.local. End that line with a tilde. And then the second line, you do the same thing, except instead of NS1, you make that NS2. And all we're saying really is that the name server associated with slackermedia.local is this server. So we've just defined that the name servers are ns1.slackermedia.local and ns2.slackermedia.local. So where do those point to? Well, this is where it gets cool, because now you can point, you can take like domains and you can make an authoritative record for them that points it to a certain server, a certain IP address. So ns1.slackermedia.local.tab A. This is an A record. I know you've seen this in your online web configuration screens. And then tab over 192.168.8.1 in this case, in that line in a tilde. And then NS2, you could point it to the same box, 192.168.8.1. Or if you have another name server going somewhere, you know, you can have a backup going. Slackermedia.local.tabmx. Tab 10, tab mail.slackermedia.local. That would be a mail server if you're going to be running one. I'm not. I went ahead and put the record in there just so I could see it in my NS lookup or dig or host, but you don't have to. Mail.slackermedia.local. I've got an A record for that domain name going to 192.168.8.1. Again, just in case I decide I want to set up. I highly doubt I will. But if I ever do, that's where mail.slackermedia.local would go to. I configured a www.slackermedia.local. A record for 192.168.8.1. An it.slackermedia.local. A record 192.168.8.1. So you're just defining where, when someone types into their browser a certain name, where is it going to be sent to? Once it gets intercepted by your DNS server, what IP address is it going to go to? You set that here, and it runs off and sends things all over the place. And it's like magic, but it's really just your hard work and redoing this zone file until it works for you. And then finally, of course, you want to do a... there's a shorthand in Mara DNS, and there's a percent sign. And that means that this domain, just slackermedia.local, will have a record of 192.168.8.1, and in that line in a tilde. All the lines end in a tilde. All the domain names end in a dot. And the shorthand is that you can actually, anytime you see slackermedia.local, you can actually just substitute it with the percent symbol. When I was setting this up, you know, it was my first time. I was a little bit nervous. I wanted to hard code everything. I wanted everything to be explicit. It's probably worse to do that because the opportunity for typos is worse. But I don't know, freaked me out that I could substitute the percent sign for something. I couldn't handle it, so I didn't do that. But on the other DNS server that I set up, I did do that, and it works just fine. So guess what? DNS is ready. All we have to do is start the service. So if we're on Red Hat, then we would just say /etc/rc.d/. Oh no, we wouldn't on Red Hat. We would say service space Mara DNS restart, or start rather, because it hasn't started yet. So you'd start that, and that would start Mara DNS. On Debian, it would be /etc/init/d/MaraDNS start, and on Slackware, there is no Mara DNS script to start on Slackware. I've never run Mara DNS on Slackware, and I'm going to get to what they have that you can also use on other systems. It's a cool alternative. But anyway, so you get the idea. You're launching the daemon. The issue of Mara DNS 1.x versus 2.x is that the 2.0 series, they branched out. They made the recursive part of Mara DNS have its own little daemon. And it's called Deadwood. I don't know why they called it that. but that's what it's called. And so if you start up Mara DNS on a 2.0 Mara DNS install, it won't work. And you will spend a day, trust me, trying to figure out what's wrong. And then you'll finally read the fine manual, and it will say, on the 2.0 series, you should start Deadwood for your recursive DNS server. You'll say, what's Deadwood? And you'll read up about it. And finally, you'll figure out that Deadwood is the Mara DNS daemon for the recursive thing. So you would have done instead, if this was a 2.0, you'd do a service Deadwood start. And then that would start that. Or, of course, if it was a Debian box, it would be in etc init.d Deadwood start. So there you go. That's how that works. Now, you should be able to ping the domain name slackermedia.local, and you should see it going straight to that IP address that you assigned. Now, in this case, the IP address is the same as everything else, so that would be, that might be a little bit difficult to see if we're actually getting that right. But there are, of course, a lot of other tools that we can use to sort of reverse engineer this. One of them is the dig command. So if you do dig slackermedia.local, you should see all of the records listed very clearly right there. It's so cool to see this stuff because you're like, I entered that information. I did that. And it tells you everything. It tells you the, you know, it's got that answer section, and it says slackermedia.local. In A is 192.168.8.1, and it says the name server is right there, and it's right there. It works. It's working. And you can also, of course, do NS lookup, although I've heard people lately talk down about that command, like it's not cool anymore, so I feel bad about mentioning it now. But yes, you can do an NS lookup. You can do a Mara ask as well. There's a Mara ask tool. And I don't really use it, to be honest, but apparently it's Ask Mara, sorry. But apparently it's good for kind of troubleshooting. I think I did use it when I was setting it up the first time, because it directly asks Mara what kind of results it's getting back and stuff like that. So I guess it's useful, but I honestly just don't know a whole lot about it. With those kinds of settings, you should now have a local DNS server running. It will, like I say, intercept all of your traffic on the way out to the gateway server, which is also your router, you know, so that's where it's going to be routed. It will intercept that DNS traffic, and it will look up the addresses and assign names, or it will look at the names and assign IP addresses to it, and send the packets to the appropriate place. The place where this gets really cool is when you start doing things like setting up internal web servers and stuff, because you can now, well, I mean, it's actually still cool, because now you could SSH, you know, you could do like an SSH to simply type in slackermedia.local, and suddenly there I am. If I'm using SSH keys, which of course one should, we'll be logged into the machine just like that. And you're probably thinking, well, that's kind of cool, but couldn't I have just done that in etc hosts? Well, of course you can do it in etc host. Absolutely you can do that. But the problem is that if you're on a network, a big network, you know, college or something, or an office or whatever, you're not going to go around to every computer and update the host files every time something changes, or you know, copy the host files over to every single machine. And I wouldn't even know how to do that on, like, a phone. You know, people now bring in their little phones, and maybe they'd want to go to the site on their phone or whatever, via Wi-Fi. So, I mean, it's just not practical. So the DNS server centralizes it. It makes it something that you can change once, and it propagates everywhere. So that's it's really slick. And it's complete name resolution. So, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter if it's SSH, FTP, HTTP. Whatever you're doing, that name on that network gets resolved to a certain box on the network. Very, very powerful, very, very cool stuff. But even so, you make a good point, because etc host does have a record of domain names and IP addresses, right? I mean, that's kind of what it is. Well, it turns out that there's a cool little tool called DNS Mask. And if I'm not mistaken, that is DNS Mask with a Q at the end. And I've never used it, but I have heard about it from people, and I've also read about it in terms of setting up DNS on Slackware. And it's actually included on Slackware. It's one of the startup scripts that you can activate. So if you do an ls on /etc/rc.d, /*, you know, you'll see, I don't know why you'd have to do that, but yeah, anyway, /etc/rc.d, you'd see an rc dot, there it is, DNS mask, yeah, with a Q. And all that does, it's a very cool sounding thing. Like I say, I haven't actually used it yet, but what it does is it sets up a little DNS server that uses that box's /etc hosts file as I guess sort of as its domain, as its zone file almost. So that's pretty slick. I mean, that's actually really, really smart. But I wanted a little bit of experience with DNS beyond just DNS Mask, but I'll probably play around with DNS Mask at some point. But if you are having a hard time with Mara DNS, and maybe your goal really is just to get the DNS thing up and running, you may want to try DNS Mask. I've heard that it's really effective and very, very easy to set up. If you can set up an etc hosts file, then you can set up DNS Mask, from what I've understood. So play around with that. Play around with DNS. It'll amaze you. It's just so cool. It's so handy to have on your network. And next time we'll go ahead and do the cool step of making an internal website. We'll start running a web server on our gateway /DHCP/DNS server, and that way we can get people to go to our little internal site or internal wiki or something like that. You know, I mean, those are really cool to have, and they don't have to go to 192.168.8.1 all the time. They can just type in, you know, slackermedia.local, or, you know, my great home network.local, whatever you want. So that'll be very, very cool, and we'll do that next time. Join me, won't you?
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.